It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard. Hi, this is Foster Brown, the co-host of our program, and we've got a great show lined up for you from 3 o'clock until 5. 2 hours of great programming, and we're going to be talking about all sorts of things, including 3D vision for your business or perhaps for your cause, whatever it may be. And we'll also be talking with Jeff Garnay from Microsoft about some great things coming out from that company just recently. As well, we got the gang in studio here to answer your questions during the second hour, so you want to be sure, stay tuned for the Internet Advisor. And welcome to the Internet Advisor. Shifted our time a little bit, but that's so we can get on the air with you folks before the big Michigan State University football game coming on. I got three grandchildren, by the way, who are going to spend a lot of cold time in the stadium tonight up at East Lansing enjoying the game. I know they will, as college students do. But right now, let me introduce to you our whole big posse that's in the studio with me. Gary Baker, good to have you here.
I'm rooting for Sparty tonight.
You safely can do that. I know you have a mixed marriage as well.
I do have a mixed marriage, and this is the only time that we're both rooting for the same team.
And they're Spartans.
Actually, not the only time for sure, but there's a time when we don't root for the home team.
And we also have Mr. Ed Rudell.
Hello, Foster.
How are you doing, Eddie?
Great.
You don't have to worry about rooting for opposing teams, do you, at your house?
Nope. Not anymore.
And hey, and look who's here.
Hi.
Cal, good to see you on here.
It's so good to be seen and not viewed.
Cal, of course, is our Mac expert. Ed and Cal both are troubleshooters for executives at a major corporation in this area, been working on computers for a long time. And we have in studio with us Doug Willett, who is with Lunatech 3D. And you're going to be giving us kind of a neat way of looking at the world again.
Sure will.
And that's going to be with Lunatech, which is Lunatech 3D, your particular company, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yep. He's got Google written all over his shirt, his computer. We're going to have to ask him about that.
And socks, who knows where else.
And before we get started, I have to say I have a son at Michigan State, so Sparty on.
All right. Then we are set here. And also with us is one of the ninjas.
No, we're not going to introduce him.
No?
No.
Why not?
Look at the shirt he has on.
Oh, no. Oh, my eyes. It says Ohio State. And I know we have lots of listeners in Ohio, so we have to say.
That's right.
Jeff Garnay is here from Microsoft, and he is sporting Ohio State.
You know, if you had bought a box of Buckeyes with him, I might feel a little more confident.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, yeah. I mean, the rivalries are meant to have fun with, right? So we've been having some fun. So.
Are you sure, Gary?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, and we also have with us on the line Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. Mike, how are you doing? You're now in the
Ohio State joke for you before we start. What is a Buckeye? It's a nut that not even a squirrel will eat.
Nice.
You know,
I like that. Long, all right, Mike, you can stay on the air.
Long ago, matter of fact, just about when Gary and I were starting the program, Internet Advisor, somewhere near the year 1999, I used to do the weekend program on WJR. And what we would do before these games was we'd give people like a half an hour to call in with their jokes, and we would go from one team to the other. It was quite a hoot. So thank you for that, carrying on that grand tradition. But Mike, you have got some headlines going here. And by the way, folks, what this is kind of a sampler, a little hors d'oeuvre of what you can get delivered to your computer every Friday, absolutely free. All these stories and many, many more put together by Mr. Mike Brennan and his crew. And Mike, first title I saw caught my eye immediately was Dan Gilbert's shot back across the bow of L. Brooks Patterson.
Yeah, I was at that event on Wednesday at Tech 248, and I was surprised that Brooks said that, being a politician that he is, but he was all upset because Dan had recruited one of his companies into one of Dan's buildings downtown. And I was even more surprised how frank the comments were back from Dan Gilbert. They were really getting at each other, that's for sure.
I'll tell you, essentially,
he just said, get your facts straight, Brooks, you know. So.
Well, Mike, you and I have known Brooks for a long time, and we'll never be surprised at anything he says, will we?
He's what they call a colorful quote in the industry.
Oh, yes. You can always count on him for something very colorful.
And he runs that county. Yes. So well.
But the thing, I think one of the things this underlines is we hope that all kidding aside and all the politics aside, there can be a joint effort here to bring new businesses into the area.
Yeah.
I think the central point of what Gilbert was saying is we need to get past, and I was kind of thinking that at the time that Brooks said it, is that's kind of the old school politics.
Yep.
We've got to move beyond that.
We really have to benefit the entire area.
Absolutely.
Hey, one other thing I saw here is that the new NSA director has some words for Silicon Valley. We come in peace?
Yeah, Admiral Michael Rogers is the new guy. And after, you know, the big revelations about what the NSA was doing to all of us, we Americans, he was just, you know, Stanford is really the heart of Silicon Valley, and everything kind of spun off Stanford and everything they've been doing over the last 40 or 50 years. So he was right there in the heart of technology land and just said, it doesn't pay for us to villainize each other. Let's move forward. We know what's going on. You know, but it still boils down to the NSA is the biggest spy organization in the world, if I like it or not.
So. Yep. Hey, by the way, you Accelerate Michigan had some prizes that they passed out to top businesses, and you have in your headlines there the winner.
Yeah, SkySpecs, which I had not heard of before. It's a Ann Arbor-based company. They won $500,000. It's a million-dollar contest. And they develop a sophisticated collision avoidance system for drones.
Oh!
Drones are everywhere, but so I guess now to keep the drones from running into each other, they have developed this system so they won't do that.
Very clever. By the way, Mike attends, you can hear things like Accelerate Michigan or the press conference out in Oakland County. That's what Mike does. He's got his kind of ear to the ground of what's going on in technology throughout the state of Michigan and around the nation as well. And that's what you'll get in these headlines with MI Tech News. And by the way, the way of getting hold of a subscription is simply to go to internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page, and click on the Subscribe Now button. For nothing, you get all these headlines and much more, including audio resources as well. And some neat things coming up in the near future we'll tell you more about as well. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
Go amigos, right? So.
Thanks so much, Mike. Take care. Mr. Mike Brennan from MI Tech News. Back in just a minute, we're going to get a whole brand new way of looking at your world. Video has become one of the key elements of the internet experience on your phones, on your tablets, on your computers, everywhere you go. People want not just the still pictures, and of course people appreciate beautiful pictures, but videos that capture a slice of life or give you a little bit better idea of a surrounding. And the people we have in our studio today, Doug Willett, who is from Lunatech3D.com, are really taking advantage of some of the technology that's involved in Google and putting it to good use here in our great state of Michigan. And Doug, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you folks are a visualization and marketing firm. Did it start as marketing initially and then kind of move into this area?
We actually started out as a 3D modeling firm.
Ah.
We started out modeling buildings in 3D for Google Earth about 6 years ago. And it evolved over time to people would say, hey, that's really great. I can see my movie theater. But now I need to bring people inside. Because, you know, the theater times that movies are playing, that's really what's that they were trying to push.
Right.
So we got involved with the Maps team, and now we've started, we actually launched the Google Street View, or it's called Google Business View. We can bring that Street View technology indoors.
Cool. So, so not only can I see the Street View outside, but in certain buildings, I'll be able to see inside.
Correct. Any business that signed up for it, right on Street View, you'll see a little double arrow. And it'll show you that I can actually go in the front door of that business and take a tour of whatever they have to show.
So tell me how that works. You show up in that business and you have a video camera and
we actually have a camera on a tripod. with a special fisheye lens, and we can capture it about 360 degrees in about four shots.
Wow!
So it's actually it's actually a fair number more than that, but in concept it's four shots.
So is it kind of a panorama then that you're creating? Oh,
We just virtually, you know, we walk through their space and capture what the business wants us to show, and then we create that walking tour that they can have directly on their listing through Google. They can embed it directly on their website, Facebook, email marketing, all the ways that somebody markets themselves online.
That's fascinating. I'm understanding that this is also part of, there's a technology that's been created to help people also to use that interior mapping as a way of guiding people, for instance, who are visually challenged. I'm trying to think of what it is. Cal, do you know, there was a technology that was being developed, I thought, that would take advantage of that interior mapping in order to be able to help people.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it, but I can see how that could come into play.
I was wondering if you'd heard anything about
that. There's another initiative from Google. It's just kind of including floor plans. I'm not sure that's the same type of technology.
Okay.
But it's, if you go into a major retailer, Home Depot, you know, a mall, when you zoom in close enough to that structure, it'll actually transition into a floor plan of the building.
I got you. Okay.
Which would probably be, you know, integral for evacuations and stuff like that. If you want to be able to map those sort of things out, I guess you could do something like that.
Now, I've heard of some other technology like iBeacons where you could could be walking up and down an aisle in a store, let's say, and if you get close enough, something will pop up on your
phone or whatever.
And it'll say, do you want to, you know, look to your right? Do you want to know more about that product? And it'll explain the product and give you a coupon if you want. So, I mean, there's all sorts of neat technology coming out, but Google is really doing this in the state of Michigan.
Oh, they're doing it all over the world. I mean,
a big part of this stuff.
Well, Lunatech 3D in particular, you guys
The trusted photographers here in Michigan. We're one of a group of the trusted photographers that handle this. So, I mean, we just did a project up on Mackinac Island where we did a custom street view. So there was no street view on the island because no cars allowed.
That's right.
So we actually walked up and down the street and created a custom street view experience. So you can now kind of walk through the entire downtown on Mackinac Island.
Will they do that for the Grand Hotel as well?
Yes, we did the Grand Hotel actually last summer, and we did some more updates for it just this summer.
What's the most unusual place that you've done these interior views of?
Most unusual place. Probably.
Like maybe a salt mine or anything like that?
No, I was actually, it's fascinating, some of the places we get to go. I did a theater down in Adrian, Michigan. And we were able to go backstage and take us up into the rafters and see all the old circus banners that were still up on the wall from the 1880s.
Oh, wow.
And
that's pretty fascinating.
It was pretty cool.
Now, along the lines of Cal's question, what is the most interesting applications that you have had of this technology?
We're actually working with a number of companies right now that they're building kind of a wayfinding system into their on-site. So that when you walk in, you walk up to a kiosk and you can actually see the virtual tour and kind of get an idea of where you're going. We're doing this with mobile home communities, downtown communities that are looking for wayfinding systems to show people what their, you know, all their businesses in their downtown area.
Oh yeah.
So there's any number of combinations that we talked about the interaction. We're building out a system right now that allows you, as you're walking through the spin tour, to see something in that spin tour and click and actually interact with it.
So you'll always have work to do with the mobile home mapping because every tornado moves it somewhere else.
Exactly.
So now, Doug, I know your dad fairly well. We both served different times, but we both served as chairman of the Small Business Association of Michigan Board of Directors.
Yes.
And he gave me some inside information. You're a drone driver.
Yes, we are.
Tell us about that.
One of the things that we've gotten into is the ability to not only do the spin tours on the ground, but now we can
a
camera, high-end DSLR camera up in the air and do an aerial spin tour. So we just did a project with Cranes about a month ago for the new Red Wing Arena, and they wanted to show the site plan of the entire area. So it just gives you that aerial perspective. And again, we can build hotspots into that, allow someone to view around.
Sure.
We've done it for people that are trying to show property. You know, here's my boundary for, new development coming in.
And I heard this one young woman commenting for a bride who was looking for a place for her wedding reception.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought that'd be great. She said, this young woman said, I chose this place because I was able to take that tour. And it was like, perfect.
Yep.
Wow, very cool. So, I mean, when did you get into flying drones? Because we've actually had a drone in the studio here, a small one, but yours is a bigger one, right?
You just hit Gary's hot spot.
I'm so fascinated. In fact, my son actually does pretty well with the little quadcopters, right? Just the Hobson.
Yep. But we made the transition from the Nano flying it around my living room to a a GoPro on a Phantom.
Oh,
now okay. This is a real quadcopter,
hexacopter with a high-end gimbal system on it, so we can do pretty sophisticated photography.
And you don't lose it like when we take it.
We certainly hope it goes
up so high you can't see it, and then hopefully it comes down where you can see it too.
No, we're certainly within all the guidelines that the FAA sets in terms of distance and height and all those types of
things. That's an interesting conversation for another time, but I want to get to something that I understand that you're involved with that is actually moved out to the state of Michigan. It's called an initiative called Let's Put Our Cities on the Map.
Correct. Yep. We are currently working with our partners, Google and the Small Business Association of Michigan, to roll out this new initiative from Google. Right now, Google, the most powerful search engine on the planet, and yet only 37% of businesses have actually claimed and optimized their listing for their individual business. So Google is working with us. We're going around the state. Our first live seminar for business owners is December 9th. Over in Grand Rapids, and it's a free seminar for business owners to come out and learn about all the free things that they can do to help with their listing on Google to make sure they get found above their competition.
Did I understand that the state is involved as well to help cities to promote themselves too?
Yes. We're actually, one of our partners is Pure Michigan, so that go to Michigan.org and you go to a certain area, you can take a spin tour of, depending on the business of, like, for example, we mentioned the Grand Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to the Grand Hotel page on Pure Michigan, it'll put you right there on the porch.
I'm thinking of the other great sites in Michigan, like Lake of the Clouds up in the Porcupine Mountains, or the Picture Rocks in Munising.
Tequamanon Falls.
Tequamanon Falls,
That'd be wonderful.
Yep, anything that's a tourist destination is a perfect fit for that visualization.
Oh, I'm thinking the big house,
Oh, yes, of course, yes, and chock full of all sorts of Maize and Blue promoters. Well, now, can an ordinary person, or say a business owner who's listening right now, is this within their shooting range in terms of finances?
Oh, absolutely. It normally starts at a couple hundred dollars, and depending on the size and complexity of the building, we've done everything from a local mom and pop shop down the street to, like we talked about, the Grand Hotel.
Wow, wonderful. Okay, folks, we have a site at internetadvisor.net that you can click off of, to Lunatech 3D. Doug Willett, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Back in just a moment to talk with a ninja from Microsoft. Now, there's a ninja in the house. It's a fine tradition here at Internet Advisor to invite some of the ninjas from Microsoft. I have the local office here. We're delighted to have from the Heartland Division, Jeff Garnay, who is one of the Microsoft ninjas, along with Jeff Carlson, who is the other one.
Jerry Carlson,
who have been on the air with
and
us.
And Dave Sawyer's been on.
And Dave Sawyer, pardon me.
Dave said to say hi. I talked to him earlier this week.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Yeah.
And what they typically do is bring all sorts of toys in here. We get to talk about the fun things that Microsoft's doing. One thing that just happened recently that I wanted you to talk about, Jeff, and it's receiving some pretty good reviews, which is interesting, but considering how many health fitness bands that are out there, is the new Microsoft Band is really seeming to get a very good reception.
Yes, so it's been a very exciting product. I have one here in the studios with me right now, and it's Microsoft Band. So
I think maybe I should try that for, say, 6 months or so.
Absolutely.
You just leave it with me on your way out? Okay.
So Foster, you're right that there's been many bands out there. I wear the Flex as well. So I'm this is like 4 days old for me. And so what's really, really neat about this is just not the healthcare features or the steps and so
taking your pulse and things that some of the other ones, the previous ones, didn't do, right?
That's correct. Takes your pulse. It's integrated with your phone as far as doing Cortana, email.
Now, by the way, excuse me, just stopping for a second, because it's not just with Windows phones. This works also with iOS products and Apple products.
And the Androids.
And the Androids as well.
Yes, it does. So all three are taken care of. They're three majors, if you will.
And that's a big difference because the other ones, as far as I know, work just with their particular operating system, I think.
They're getting better. Like a Fitbit, I know works with several different carriers as well. So yeah, but so the integration features with your standard email and so forth, and reminders, getting a buzz on your wrist for when you have meetings coming up. So this gives you a buzz for that. Emails coming through.
You know what I was so impressed with? With my daughter and a friend of hers, they came in and they did nice review of 7 or 8 of them. This was a few months ago or so, and it took them a little while to figure out each one. They were all slightly different and whatnot. Chris Allen, who works with me at Flagstar, sits, his office is right across the hall from me. He came over and he goes, "Hey, I just got this great band from Microsoft." And he's first of all, he only had 375 steps, but he only had it for 2 hours. In 2 hours, he said he never looked at the manual. He just pulled it out of the box. He said he put it on. It was mostly charged. It charged for about an hour of that, I think.
Sure.
And then he just played with it, and he could do everything that he wanted to do with it and never looked at the manual. Yeah. And he figured it all out in a couple hours.
And that's very true. It's simply an app syncing up to your Microsoft Band, and then you're able to go through the app and actually see your stats, if you will. It's been interesting in our offices. We have a couple of people that have these wristbands, and we're noticing things about ourselves, you know, like our sleep hours, and you know, what's our heart rate look like when we're sleeping, and you know, and it actually lining up the heart rate to where it spikes, and you actually, you know, you may have rolled over, and just the very intimate details, and it actually deep sleep versus just light sleep. Yep. It actually monitors that as well.
Yeah, a few days ago he came in and he said, "Look how I've been sleeping." So he slept one way. He says, "See, it shows here. I need to go back home and go to bed." Right? He was telling me about all the different ways you could tell if it was a deep sleep and if he had woken up. He said, "I didn't remember waking up, but it said I woke up."
Kel, what? You talked a lot about biometric functions. Mm-hmm. Other than biometric functions, what other things can we do with that particular device? And can third-party apps be written for it as well?
Yeah, so great question. So Facebook is integrated. I know that's important for a lot of people.
Sure.
Starbucks. Funny story. Earlier this week, another gentleman I work with, Aaron, he was in Starbucks, line at Starbucks, and he had his all set up with the Starbucks code in there, and you're able to go and swipe it. And for whatever reason, the iPhone had a problem earlier. The person in front of him had a problem with their iPhone getting that to work properly. So he stepped in there and said, "Hey, let me pay for that with my band," and was able to show it off so that you could pay for your Starbucks with the band.
I'll be darned. Oh, so you do have it.
Cool.
Is that the NFC then? Is a little NFC?
Yep.
Fascinating.
And you know what's happening too is because we're now seeing. We're now seeing that you can use, Apple Pay is one, but there's so many other now.
Google Wallet and some other ones.
So many other payments that you can take on your phone. It's so much more secure than having a credit card in your wallet. It's just it's amazing because no information stored on the phone.
Yeah.
No information is stored at the store, right? And it's a one-use token back and forth. So even if somebody could get a hold of it, which they haven't been able to yet, and these have been out for a few years, they can only use it once.
Right.
And it's already, by the time they see it, it's already been used. So they can't
guys,
even use it one time.
Have you guys had that on your wrist yet? Eddie, put it on your wrist. I want you just to test something out for me, how it feels. Because one of the things, Paul Thurrott, who is a big commentator on Windows, had tried this thing out, and he said, it feels like a shackle. In other words, aesthetically, it's not real pretty. What do you think, Eddie?
Black's really not my color.
I like it compared to the Samsung, which is so wide. It's like an inch and a half wide and 2 inches long. And
what are you saying? Pardon me?
Well, I said I do like that it's narrow, and it does sort of buckle on like a shackle. But then once it's on and you move it over your wrist bone properly.
And you can flip it either way.
Some people are saying you raise it, use it so it's got the face under your wrist, top of your wrist.
You can read it easier and talk to it easier, right?
Yep. And that's the other thing is you could talk into that.
Oh, you can talk to it.
And
it'll
bring up Cortana. You set reminders.
Cortana's so
send
much
a text.
No, wait. If you talk into it, where will you hear the response? On your phone then?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Would Siri come back and talk to you on an Apple device?
Well, we don't know the Apple device isn't out yet. right?
The, well, we don't know. Oh, we don't know how the application would work on
the
Apple phone.
The Apple phone
has to load that app and find out this sort of thing. But my question, when you said putting on upside down, where where's on the inside? Does it still sense your pulse even though it's on the other side?
Yes, it does.
It looks like one of the things that struck me about this is it seems to have sensors, and when I put it on as well, it has sensors not only under the watch face, but then on the buckle there's a sensor, and
that's
then in the sides there's a there are, looks like there are sensors as well.
Yeah,
there, right?
So it senses your sweat. Perspiration.
Oh, yeah?
So it gives you some stats around how hard you're working and so forth.
So, yeah, so Chris didn't tell me about that.
Yeah.
Maybe he hasn't found that
one. Now, what does the UV sensor do?
Oh, yes, I heard about
that. So there's a UV sensor on there, and it's simply just an informational thing. So
okay.
I currently don't have that turned on. I have other apps that I'm looking at.
Yep.
But you just simply turn it on, and then you just look at go to that app, and then open it, and it gives you the UV information.
And I'm sure at some point that someone will write an app or something like that. It's like, okay, flip when you're in the sun or something.
So there are a few apps for this already. So MyFitnessPal, RunKeeper, MapMyFitness, Gold's Gym, and obviously Starbucks, like we talked about earlier, are all written. So there'll be more apps. This is all integrated with Microsoft Health. A lot of folks know about the Health Vault for Microsoft. This is separate. Mm-hmm. There is, I don't know the specific details, but I would imagine at some point down the road, Microsoft Health will integrate with the Health Vault as well, and there'll be some advantages for, you know, not just us as consumers, but for our healthcare divisions that are out there, the hospitals and the clinicians out there that could take advantage of these type of utilities for their patients.
Now, this is the first try at this. Am I right?
No, that's a great question, and Dave Sawyer was very kind to put together a very nice email to us internally to let us know that actually we've done watches twice before.
Oh, really?
Yes, there was another Microsoft watch, come to think of it.
Yeah.
Our previous engineer, Eric Anderson, or Scott Anderson had one.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's
so Datalink was released in 1994, thanks to Dave Sawyer, and giving me these details. And then the Spot Watches was in 2004.
Jeff, I have to. I have your phone on, and your wife's calling you.
Yes, she is. Yeah,
just told me your wife is calling.
Yeah,
just want to let you know.
So now,
this is very cool.
Gary,
I like this.
What was the? How did it let you know that there was a call?
It just came up with her name and said incoming.
Did it buzz at all?
Yeah, it buzzed.
Well, I heard his phone ring over there,
and then
I didn't hear that. But
the point is the phone alerts you by buzzing.
That's correct.
And then you look at your phone to see.
And you can actually see, like, if I got a text on my phone, you can see the text come through on the device as well.
Now, one of the reasons I said that this is just the first iteration of this is one of the remarks was that it's not waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
That it is, water resistant?
It's water resistant, yes.
Which means you could be caught in the rain with it, but which means you don't take it in the shower.
I ran in the rain this morning and there was no problem.
Putting it in the water.
Yeah. So I ran this morning with it, and it was raining and snowing.
Yes.
And so, and I had it right out there in the open, and it was just fine.
Well, it would have to have a certain level of water resistance to it, because if it's measuring perspiration.
Exactly.
That's exactly it. But I understand, though, that don't take this in the shower. It was one of the salespeople.
Correct.
At the Microsoft said, no, sir, don't take it in the shower.
Just like, your watch, right? You don't.
Hey, there's some other interesting things that have been going on at Microsoft that will affect, as a matter of fact, anybody out there who's listening right now who has Office 365, have we got good news for you? Matter of fact, even for Mac users. Come back in just a moment with that as we talk with Jeff Garnay from Microsoft. It's our pleasure to be with you here live in WJR before the big game coming up. Michigan State University against Ohio State will be coming up later on this evening. And for any of you who have ever gone out to one of these games and have been in the stadium itself, you know that one of the things that can drive you nuts is you got your smartphone there and you want to see all the statistics and see who's tweeting about this and that, and you can't get a decent signal. Well, we've got some folks who have actually pitched in to help with that problem, and with us to talk about that solution and something will make out. You folks who are heading to the game and have got smartphones, very happy as you head towards East Lansing, is Abid Khan, who is the AT&T Network Engineering Manager. Abid, thank you so much for joining us here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Abid, you folks from AT&T have done something that is going to make a big difference to people who are heading up to East Lansing for the big game. Tell us about this new technology and what you've done to improve service for fans.
Okay, very good. So what we have installed at Spartan Stadium is called ADAS, which stands for a distributed antenna system. So, like, what this, like, does is, like, basically it makes you independent of the cell tower. Ah. So prior to this, like, prior to the installation of DAS, the stadium was either served by cell towers outside the stadium, or they were served by some, like, temp solutions, like, that we put in just for the event. Mm-hmm. But now, last month, we brought on air a system which is giving you a capacity enough to feed the city of the size of Kalamazoo. So we have seven cell towers worth of capacity within the stadium.
Without having to put up seven new towers.
Right. Wow. And like what we did was that we installed about 175 antennas, and 50 of them are within the bowl. And we installed them in a way that they're aesthetically pleasing. They are hidden inside the scorecards and in other areas within the stadium. Uh-huh. But all this capacity analysis like that we did is based on the user experience. And we want each and every AT&T user within the stadium to have the best throughput, the best download and upload speed. Every AT&T user should be able to initiate a call within the bowl and also in the non-bowl areas. And our call success rate that we target is 99.99. So It is a very high standard.
So the immediate difference that our listeners who are heading up to East Lansing are going to experience is that they're going to be able to get calls through. They should be able to Twitter, look at Facebook, and do a whole bunch of other things without it dragging, right?
Right. And every text message is going to go through on the first time, hopefully. But yes, like that is what we are hoping for. And every voice call is going to go smooth. And the biggest trend like that we see is like as soon as the fans like they go inside a venue, they update their Facebook status or they post something on the Twitter or they take a selfie and upload. Yes. So they should be able to do it now.
So your selfies are secure. You'll be able to post what I'm up to and post all those things. Abed, thank you very much for telling us about this. Now, by the way, is this happening anywhere else across Michigan with AT&T?
We just finished it at another major sporting stadium. I don't know if I can tell the name here or not. But yes, like we have done it at a couple of other key venues, and also we are doing it like right now in the Major League stadiums and Detroit market.
So, excellent. So what you guys folks have been able to experience in Major League now is going out to the college campuses and could be showing up in many other places. And as you say, it's not a matter of huge infrastructure having been built, but the very strategically placed little antennas are helping people to get excellent service through AT&T. Abed Khan, thank you so much for being with us. And I'm going to count on the folks who are heading up to East Lansing to be able to say, yes, it's working, and put that selfie up there.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you very much. That's Abed Khan, who is the AT&T Network Engineering Manager about a great new technology called DAS, which is going to be at Spartan Stadium. You folks should see a big difference up there when you're going up for the game. Now we have Jeff Garnay in studio with us. Jeff, we've been talking about the Microsoft Band, this new device that's kind of a lifestyle, not just for running. It's got everything on it, email and everything else. What is the price on that?
So it's $199, and there is a accidental warranty that you can get on there as well, and that's an additional $21, I believe.
Okay, and the accidental is in case you bang it against something?
Correct.
Okay,
yep.
For a year?
There's also a small film that they put on there, and I have it on there now, and I can't even notice it. So you get that for...
I guess for scratch resistance.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. So it's a little more protection, and it works out really nice.
So roughly $220. We get you the whole package with the protection and everything else on it.
Yep.
Okay. I understood these things sold out quickly, too.
They did. They sold out in all the stores, and I just pinged the Microsoft store here in Troy, and they do have them in store. So if there's interest in getting one, every week there's more coming in, more devices.
You're talking about the store in Troy. If you're anywhere near the Somerset Collection in Troy, you can walk in there, and we've had the privilege here of putting them on our hands. Matter of fact, I went into the store. I happened to be in there the day that it was launched, and there was this big cluster of people on this one place. And I said, hey, is the Microsoft Band over there? Oh, yes. And people were busy looking at it and checking it out. Let's talk about something else, a couple other things that are exciting for Microsoft users. If you're an Office 365 user, I understand now sky's the limit in terms of storage.
That is correct, yes. So I forget what the last count was, 10 gig or 15 gig, but so now it's unlimited for all users to...
You could have terabytes of stuff up there.
You could.
Yeah. Wow.
Who's got terabytes of stuff?
Some people, in terms of pictures and things. I know, Ed, how much, you store a lot of stuff online?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore? Where do you put it?
I back it up from my hard drive.
So okay, put it on the hard drive there.
Yep, and then I have an external storage.
Now, this is also for people who want to put photographs up there. They want to put any number of different kind of documents up there.
Yes. Yep. Any type of documents. Yep.
So I just got the new iPhone, and I can go to iCloud and use that. Unfortunately, if I go over 5 gig, I got to pay for it. 5 gig.
Yep.
This is astounding.
That's a little bit less than unlimited.
Yeah.
Yeah. True to Microsoft's direction over the last year or so is we actually introduced our Dropbox as well.
That's
right. So partnership with Dropbox.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does that work with Dropbox then?
So
because I have a Dropbox account, so I'm trying to figure out how to work these
things. Yeah, so I'm not sure of the integration details. So I just know that the partnership was announced this week. So I'm not sure if I'm a Dropbox customer.
They might not know yet.
Yeah. It's like, right. Do I just... go ahead and send all my stuff over to the office, through office to there. I'm not sure of those back
one of the
details.
Things I found out, and maybe Ed, you can comment on this too, is that I found that, for instance, when I have a big Dropbox account, I found that I had not only all my stuff in the cloud on Dropbox, but I had a copy of it on my computer. And that kind of defeated the purpose for me because I've got an SSD drive right now, which is smaller than the drive I had before. So my idea was to put the stuff in the cloud and to save the space on my computer, but it seemed like it was taking up just as much space in my computer.
So it's basically a synchronization, so the documentation is available not only on the device that you're primarily working on, but other devices as well. It's a different paradigm than...
Yeah.
Is that pretty much correct?
You're spot on.
Yeah. Yep.
So Microsoft is not that... That's not that...
So Microsoft has that ability as well. In fact, I do that.
Okay.
So if I'm offline and I need to get to my files, I can't.
Okay.
That's the whole point of being able to sync.
Yeah, it is not meant as a replacement or, get it off my computer and throw it up there.
But can you do that?
You can.
Yes.
Okay, because I and a lot of people have these little SSD drives, and they're smaller.
You know, on your Mac and your
exactly.
PCs, right? They're 125 or 250 Mac.
That's why I have 256.
Yes. Yep.
So I don't want to be repeating that. So with the Microsoft, I could be terabytes of stuff on the cloud. Hey, Jeff, can you stick around to help answer some questions?
Absolutely.
All right, so folks, you have a unique opportunity here. Not only do you have Ed Rudell and Gary Baker and Cal Carson, but you have Jeff Garnay from Microsoft. So if you have a question about Windows 8 or any other Microsoft device you have, please give us a call. Now, here's the number, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. This is a unique opportunity. This is like you're walking into a computer shop and saying, hey, I have this going on with my computer. Can you help me with it? Yeah. We got lots of people here who would be very excited about helping you with that. So coming up after the news, give us a call at 800-859-0957. We're here to answer your questions.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast.
Hi, this is Foster Brown, and we have another hour of the Internet Advisor. Delighted to be with you here live before the big football game, MSU versus Ohio State. And we've got our lines open at 800-859-0957. And we have a whole host of experts in studio, including Jeff Garnay from Microsoft, who'll be here to answer your questions about your Microsoft product and software. 800-859-0957. Call us now. The next hour is yours. I hope that this is a pleasant little surprise for you before the big game. The Internet Advisor, generally speaking, is on the air from 4 to 6 throughout most of the year, but during the sports season, we're often preempted by the big games that come up. And we're very fortunate to be here just before the Michigan State game. Coming up a little later on, they're going to be having the pregame starting after this. What it means is, for you folks out there who may not have heard us before, is that this second hour of our program is open lines, when you can call in 800-859-0957 And then we've got Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, Cal Carson, and Jeff Garni, who is on Microsoft Ninja, who is with us in the studio today to answer your questions about Microsoft products in particular. And Cal has a lot of perspective on Apple products. So that number again, 800-859-0957. Just a quick word, if you ever miss us, we do this every week of the year, 52 weeks of the year, we do a program. Our affiliates are going to be hearing this program all year long. Sometimes in WJR, you don't hear it because of the sports schedule. But you can always get our podcast on Sunday nights. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you will be able to get in there and find a recording of the entire program and the different segments of the program you can tap into as well. And there's some neat things that are going to be happening over this wintertime. We're going to be doing a big update on our webpage and do some things with podcasting. So lots of exciting things going on behind the scenes. All right, guys, you ready to roll up your sleeves? Let's dig in. And we have Charlene, who is with us right now. And Charlene, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. Yes, the reason I was calling is I recently had got that FedEx email thing, and it probably has a virus on it. I opened it through my netbook. Now, I had taken my laptop in, and they had found 6 viruses, and they were going to take them all off. Mm-hmm. So my question is that how is this going to affect my computer? Is that virus already on my computer?
Okay, laptop? So you said that they identified this FedEx virus.
Well, I did. I opened the email, and then I realized that it was, not authentic. Mm-hmm. And
Okay.
I had taken my laptop in, and later they found some viruses, but I don't know if that FedEx virus would be on my laptop also, even though I opened it up in my netbook.
Okay. I sort of doubt that. What this really sounds like, it's a phishing scam, right, Gary? And yep. Basically, you would have received an email that would have tried to trick you to click on an attachment to...
Which I did.
Which, yes, and to verify your FedEx shipment, because it's like, oh, right. Yeah, no, everyone gets
somebody
GPS.
Somebody sent me something? Someone, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Flowers. And so, it as you know, it affected the computer that you opened it up on.
Now, right. Will it affect my computer, my laptop when I get it back? If I open it up, am I going to be putting that virus then onto that laptop
well,
also?
Yeah, it shouldn't.
If you still have that email
don't
in your box,
it.
Yeah, don't open it again. Because, you know, more than likely, the people you took it to are not going to open your email because it's probably web-based. So that email may still exist out there.
So, Charlene, we have to ask you, what kind of security do you have?
Well, I have Comcast as my server, so it was Norton.
Okay.
And I guess it didn't pick it up. They said they found 6 viruses on my computer, even with the Norton antivirus. Yeah.
So sometimes, right, the virus doesn't come onto the computer unless you invite it on by clicking a link.
That's what's called a phishing scam.
Yeah. So they're trying to trick you. It's more of a con than it is a hacking into your computer and putting a virus on it. So,
were there any symptoms that you experienced that, I mean, afterwards, did Norton?
Well, then afterwards, I tried to open up the Norton to do a virus scan, and it wouldn't let me on my notebook.
Okay, so a lot, and that's the trend.
Yeah.
A lot of viruses that are, the first thing they do is they know of ways of disabling your antivirus. Right. You know, and so that's the first thing they've done is disabled your antivirus program.
And just to let you know something, too, even though Norton didn't find that particular virus, you have to remember it's not necessarily that Norton or any other antivirus product is not doing its job. Remember, the virus gets created, and then it starts infecting, and then it gets reported to the antivirus people, and then they make an inoculation for it that will go out and fix it. So maybe you got the virus before the inoculation actually existed, and that's the reason why it didn't detect it in that particular case. So,
and there's also another thing that happens. When you double-click on a message, it says, are you sure you wish to open this attachment? I mean, it's giving you a warning. I mean, 999 times out of 1,000, when we click on a message, you know, we are all creatures of habit. So when we double-click on it and we say, yes, I wish to open this attachment, that one time out of 1,000, it wasn't a PDF file, or it wasn't something else. It had a payload because you didn't pay attention to the attachment.
We didn't.
I'm guilty of it as well. We are all guilty of it.
Cal, you had a final word.
So the point is, well, I was just going to say, so because you invited it onto your computer is the reason that Norton didn't stop it. Norton will stop it if you don't invite it on. But if you invite it on, a lot of times they won't. They'll go, okay, if you want this file, you got it.
And or it will stop it if you run a scan after you've invited on, and then it goes through there and goes like, oh, look, you got this over here. The other thing that I was going to tell you to do, too, that I think is really important, is that email that gave you that virus or suspectedly gave you that virus, I would dump that in the trash right now so that 3 months from now you don't click on it and go, oh, snowballs, and then you got to start all over again. So get rid of that piece of mail.
I sent it to the spam file.
Okay.
Yeah, good just spot.
Get it away as far away as you possibly can. Okay, Charlene?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you as well. Okay, we got, Joyce and a whole bunch of other people out there, but there's room
Joel
for you.
Joel and Harry.
And Joel and Harry. And 800-859-0957 is a toll-free number. A unique opportunity for you to get a consult on your particular computer concerns. Jeff Garnay from Microsoft is also in studio if you have a question about Windows 8 that you'd like to ask, or Windows 8.1 to be more of a specific. Back in just a moment to answer those questions for you here on the Internet Advisor. One of the unique aspects that we have of our program today is that we have in studio with us Jeff Garnay, who is software and hardware, we call him a ninja from Microsoft.
Jerry's words.
And but it's a unique opportunity to handle some questions about Microsoft products in particular. And we have one here. Joel, welcome to the program from Roseville. You have a question about a Dell Inspiron, I believe, right?
Well, yeah, I've got four Dell Inspirons we bought for our boys for school. Mm-hmm. And we got the Microsoft Office and whatnot. And lo and behold, when we went to use the DVDs to function in their laptops, well, wow, there's no player available for it. You got to go to the App Store and download a player. Well, Dell was kind enough to give us a player that just doesn't work very well. It constantly crashes. I've been on with Dell, in India.
Oh, dear.
Like 8-10 hours.
Oh, no. I want to cry when I hear that people have been on for that long on a help desk.
Anything beyond 20 minutes. Are you actually looking for a DVD to load the software?
Well, I'm looking for the application.
He's got the player in the Dell.
Yeah.
So before we let Jeff answer this, because he has the answer probably, Joel, have you thought about Office 365?
I've not even thought about it nor heard about it.
Okay. Jeff, you want to talk about Office 365?
Well, let's deal with the media player first, and then we can talk about 365.
Sure.
So it used to be that there was a media player that came with your Dells.
Correct. So you have media player with your device, right? So if you look up media player, it comes up, right?
Yeah, it's a WinDVD, it's called, I think, or CyberLink.
Okay, so you have CyberLink, which is a product that Dell provided you because it includes the codecs for the DVD decryption, okay?
Right.
But and you and I were discussing this, that Microsoft Windows includes a media player, but it's for music. The DVD playing has always been a difficult thing because where are you going to get the codecs for that? And that's something usually the manufacturer like Dell provides or Toshiba or whatever.
So in this case, it's not very
good. But Microsoft does provide the ability for DVDs. Now, isn't that correct? Like, I mean, I thought it did.
So media player doesn't have the codecs. Media player doesn't have the codecs, and you have to actually use a third-party codecs.
Oh, okay.
So, and I just ran into this with a neighbor of mine as well. So they have media player, and that they thought that the DVD would play on that media player, but they actually had to download a third-party solution to be able to run their DVDs on that particular PC.
So what are some suggestions you have for that, a third party? Do you have any suggestions for a third party?
Wasn't there one that we always used to use? What was it? VLC or something
VLC.
Like that?
Yeah, VLC is one. You mentioned a CyberLink earlier. That's a decent one. Obviously, you'd like to have it integrated, but the DVD playing codecs comes from third parties. So it's not a part of the Windows Media Player.
Okay, so Joel, the bottom line is for you. No, there isn't a native DVD playing app within the new Microsoft system there. However, there are plenty of, like VLC, Victor Lawrence Charlie. VLC is a universal codec player for DVDs. Am I right on that? I think that's, guys. Am I right on that?
Yep, I think that's correct.
And it's free. and it can be downloaded on your machines and takes care of.
I'm just trying to find a valid source and where to get that. Yep. It's been a couple of years since I've downloaded
it. What we'll do is this, Joe. We'll post something on our homepage, internetadvisor.net, with links to that player for you. Mm-hmm. So you can
I'm there right now, and I don't see it yet.
Well, no, it's not there yet, but it'll...
we'll post
program,
it. Okay,
mercy, I have to do this after the program's over, all right? Okay, yes. Joel?
Yeah, but yeah, do not download it from CNET, because I'm sure you get lots of garbage with that.
We're gonna try to toolbars.
Yeah. Thank you, yes.
We're going to try to give you a site you can download VLC and see if there's some other ones you can play with.
Yeah, VLC Media Player, that's what it's called.
The other thing,
I'll try that. Thank you.
No, Cal, you had something.
You could always take a shot in the dark, too. You could download QuickTime for Windows from the Apple website and load that as well. That's also a player that you could use.
QuickTime for Windows, so excellent. We'll try to give you a couple of these things, a few of these things to try out for yourself.
Well, I'll tell you guys, if I can get something that works as good as my MacBook for the DVD playback, I'll take it.
Okay, well, QuickTime is...
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of hard to afford four MacBooks for your kids. send them off to college.
College costs enough already.
I mean, so let's talk about Office 365, because you know what Joel did was he went out and he purchased Office. Even at a student rate, it's expensive.
But student comes with three licenses.
And student does come with three licenses. Yeah. That helps. But Office 365, every one of us can use it, and it comes with five licenses. It's $99 a year. It seems like a great deal. I know we had it and love it.
Yeah, so Joel, I don't know how many folks are in your family, but...
You said four.
Four, and including yourself, and so five. So you could take Office 365 and potentially have one set of licenses for five individuals, five tablets, five PCs, five phones, five Windows, or five mobile devices. So it's 555.
I use that with students up at Michigan State University, and three of them are using part of my license.
There you go. Yep. So
now the question I have for you, Jeff, can I mix platforms on those licenses?
Yep.
Can I have three on Windows and two on Mac?
That my understanding is yes.
Okay, yes, cool. You can. Yep. Because we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my daughter has a Mac.
Yeah, and you do it all online and actually list all of your devices that are licensed.
When you go into your account, it will list them all.
And I found a valid site. I don't know why I didn't think of this. To get the VLC, just go to nite.com, NITE.com. It's a great website. Us technicians use it all the time. When you have to install 15 applications after rebuilding a PC,
excellent,
you go to Nite, you select VC or VLC player. I want to download Malwarebytes. I want an Adobe Reader. I want a PDF. You know,
make a whole batch of.
Yeah, and then when you download it, you'll download a single executable, and it'll install all the applications simultaneously. Yeah. But you can also use it just to download a single application, like VLC player.
We'll post a link to that. It's
NITE.com. Put a link out there on our site.
Yeah, that's a great site.
We'll have that up there. Okay, let's go to Harry from Port Huron. Hi, Harry. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, guys. And first of all, before I ask my question, to your last caller, I'm a VLC guy. I love it. If you can get it, it's awesome.
Excellent.
The question I have is, I'm getting an iPhone, and I have been told that I can get a wireless external hard drive, that they make such a thing, and then I can connect that drive to my iPhone. Is that true?
I have some swampland in Florida for you.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm going to ask my Mac expert here. But that would be, you know, so what they're talking about is the only way I could see you could do that is Wi-Fi and or possibly Bluetooth.
Or maybe NFC. I don't know.
Near field communications, maybe. Possibly. And but I just don't know if an application, if like a company like Western Digital provides the ability to, because it has Wi-Fi, would provide you an app to do that,
right.
Or possibly even Seagate. You know, that would make sense.
Yes.
What a great idea, Harry. Did you patent that, or did someone tell you that?
Yeah, somebody mentioned that to me this week when he heard that I'm going to get one, and I wanted to get to my files. He said, as far as he heard, they could do it. So that's why I check with you guys.
Cal, am I right that essentially what Harry has and any iPhone user have, with iCloud, you have a wireless hard drive?
Oh, so that's maybe that's it. Yeah, Harry misinterpreted what he's talking about.
Well, it appears that Seagate makes a device right now that you can do that with.
Okay.
And you can hook an iPhone, iPod up to it and use AirPlay to move your files back and forth.
Excellent.
And you just stream them back and forth between that wireless device.
Wow. So, Harry, you're an innovator.
There you go.
You are right on top of the curve.
Setting the pace.
The crest of the wave.
As a matter of fact, when you do get whatever device that you get, let us know and tell us how it worked out for you and tell us the features and the goods and the bads about it.
I'd love to, guys. I appreciate your help and your expertise.
You're welcome, Harry. Thank you so much for the question. A good one, too. So,
why didn't I think of that like 2 years ago when they started integrating wireless communication, Wi-Fi capability in there? You could... Oh, my goodness. What a great idea.
Well, I hope Harry calls back when he gets this done.
I do, too. I'd love to hear how it works out.
Harry, so if you're still listening, please call back when you get it done next couple weeks.
All right. We've got our phone lines open here. Nancy, Joyce, and Dan are going to be online with us. It could be your turn as well at 800-859-0957. Back to answer more of your calls in just a moment on this special edition of the Internet Advisor. Time for me to also pay homage to the folks behind the glass, as we call them. Annie Nichols, thank you very much. Our lady of the phones. That smiling voice, by the way, is just as nice in person.
You can hear her smile.
And Rich Lazensky, thank you so much for being here and keeping things under control.
Does he smile as well?
He does.
When things are going well, when we're not when we're not messing with controls where he has to go fix them on the fly, then he's smiling.
He tends to chuckle a little bit more. All right, let's say hello to Joyce from Highland. Joyce, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you?
I have a Gateway computer, Windows 7, and I'm trying to pair it with a Bluetooth adapter that goes to a Cricket Explorer. And I have, I was led to go to the device manager, and when I go there, I don't have Bluetooth. So I have gone online. And to try to load a driver, a Bluetooth driver?
I think it's more than just loading a driver, guys. Am I right that you really have to have the hardware in there? There's a radio in there, isn't there, for Bluetooth? Am I right, guys?
Yes. So you have to have the hardware. I'm sorry, what did you say your equipment was?
She has a Gateway.
It's a Gateway.
What's the model of that Gateway, if you could tell us?
And approximately how old is it?
How old is it? It's...
Roughly.
Now, on the front or the side, are you near the computer?
3 or 4. I'm not sure.
Three or four years old. Okay.
Are you near the computer right now?
Yeah, I'm right at it. I'm trying to figure out where I figure out the model.
If you're facing the computer, look on the right-hand side panel of the computer, and it'll probably say Gateway with the little box with the cow on it, and then it'll have some specs on the side of the computer. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see a model number on the side of that computer?
Would that be the NZ53A?
Yeah, let's try that. NZ53A is an Apple?
And V as in Victor?
Like, yeah, and the N was like Navy.
Okay, so it's M as in Mary, V as in Victor.
No. N as in
Navy.
Nathan.
Uh-huh. Okay. V as in Victor.
Okay. 5-3 Apple.
5-3A. Okay. Well, behind the scenes, we'll look at this. But, Ed, I think the one of the basic problems is if you don't have the actual hardware on board on the computer.
Yeah. Almost all laptops in the last 6 years, if not more, have shipped with a Bluetooth capability. Yeah. If they have Wi-Fi, it's very... very little for them to actually include a Bluetooth capability, unless it's a really cheap laptop. Desktop computers, not too many of them come with Bluetooth capability. I mean, why?
Jeff, where would you look under? I mean, under device managers, would you look for that?
If I'd had a new hard drive put in, would that affect it?
No.
So in device manager, if you're familiar with device manager, you go and it'll be a separate category. It'll actually say Bluetooth.
Yes, I know. That's what I've been told, and there's nothing there.
So that means you don't have the. Means you don't have the hardware.
Batteries to computer.
Yeah, right. So you don't have the hardware built into the notebook to be able to connect.
But
via
Joyce,
Bluetooth.
I'm glad you've mentioned this because I think a lot of people think that it's simply a software solution.
What is a Cricket that she was talking about?
What is your Cricket that you're talking about?
Cricket Explorer is a machine that cuts all different shapes
Oh, okay.
It's like a machine for using for scrapbooking, correct?
Yes, okay. Or okay. Making exactly. cards or
it's,
whatever.
It's like a scrapbooking printer, and what it does, you put the paper in it, and it takes the information from the computer and cuts out shapes that she creates.
Very cool.
Yes, it's really cool. Yeah, but most of those come with...
The Cricut Explorer will also print and cut, so it prints from my computer and then cuts it, what it prints.
See, now most... That doesn't make sense. That computer's been out for about 4 or 5 years, and that should come with a USB capability and a cable. So, I mean, it does have wireless capability.
Oh, yeah.
But your computer doesn't support wireless, but it should also support the cable. So
well,
have you got a cable for it?
I can do the cable. It's just I bought the adapter and
I see.
Can print in the living room and still cut in the kitchen.
Look at her. So the adapter that you bought, is that the adapter that you put on your notebook, or did you put the adapter on your Cricut device?
On my Cricut device.
Okay.
Okay, so you purchased an upgrade, if you will, for your Cricut device, so it could be wireless.
No.
But unfortunately, your desktop computer does not support Bluetooth capability.
Exactly, yeah.
With Bluetooth, yeah.
There's no Bluetooth built into that.
Am I not right, though, that you can go to one of the computer supply stores and buy a little dongle that you
Yeah, you could potentially
put
buy
in.
A dongle.
Yeah, you just in other words, it's a little device, we're calling it a dongle, which is a little thingy
yes.
that you put into a USB drive, and some of them are tiny, teeny, tiny things. You just put that in, and that will then give you the Bluetooth capability.
Assuming that it's the same level Bluetooth as the device that's receiving it, or whether or not the receiving device can take it, and whether or not the drivers are compatible with that particular machine,
and
whether it's for the OS.
And don't get confused with, you know, when you buy a lot of Bluetooth devices, they come with a lot of USB Bluetooth nubs. Those are paired already, and don't bother. You have to get a universal Bluetooth nub thing that, you know,
Microsoft sells one, doesn't it?
We probably do sell them. I don't know what the model number is.
Right.
The other thing that I'm thinking about, does that printer run on Wi-Fi as opposed to Bluetooth? Do you know that? The Cricut device.
No, it's only Bluetooth? Going to do wirelessly if you have this little Bluetooth adapter.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So,
thank you.
Let's go back on this, Joyce.
Unlike a printer that...
yeah, Joyce, let's step back for a second here. You can use the wire you have, the USB wire, to go from your laptop to the Cricut device. Okay.
I've done that many times.
Okay. Now, if you want to do it wirelessly, though, you can go out and buy one of these universal Bluetooth nubs or antennas on it.
Yes.
As Ed said, make sure it's universal.
Well, it has to provide you the full Bluetooth capability.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And it doesn't cost an awful lot.
I'm not sure.
Looking at some right now, they're relatively inexpensive, under $30.
Yeah, they're around $30, I think.
Yeah, $30 or less.
So for $30, you could have a solution that you want.
You know, and I can understand where she's going, because I really enjoyed when wireless printing came along.
Yeah.
I'd have my printer in one room, and I could stick that wireless printer, and all I needed was an electrical outlet and no cables to trip over, and I could stick it on top of a bookshelf. And then when the printer paper came out, it would come down from heaven because I took out the tray, and it would just drift down to the floor. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, Joyce.
I know this thing is capable of doing things wirelessly, because I've been able to do that at my parents' house.
All right. Well, we hope we've given you a couple other solutions to it.
Okay.
And it sounds like they're fairly inexpensive, Joyce. Thanks for giving us a
call.
I'm sorry we haven't got a chance to answer another question, because we got a bunch of people here, and I'll make sure that they get in as well. So thanks, Joyce, very much for asking that question. Nancy from White Lake, thank you for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a e-machine. It's got Windows 7 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it takes longer and longer to boot up. I went in, I'm on it now, and I was wondering, like, what kind of cleanup I should try to do periodically.
Okay.
I went on the control panel, and I see performance information and tools, and it gives me my scores and, kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know.
That's not necessarily the thing to look at first. Guys, let's just give some quick,
we'll
start with you maybe, Jeff.
Yeah, sure. So two things that come to mind. Number one is disk cleanup.
Yep, I got it open now. It's called Disk Cleanup for E-Machines.
Okay. There's a Windows version as well.
Okay, where do I find that?
So usually if you go to the Start menu, Programs.
Okay. Yeah.
Accessories.
Let me see. Start program.
accessories. Devices and...
Should be a folder called accessories. Should be a folder called accessories.
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 And by the way, Joyce, don't try to follow this right now.
Yeah.
You'll be able to play this back, and
you'll
take your time out of it.
So disk cleanup is number one, and then the other one is defragmentation for Windows 7. So when you type in defrag at the search menu, should come right up as an option. But defragment will help speed up the hard drive and also disk cleanup. And you guys want to add some more?
Yeah.
Let's see.
And I don't have to download it from the Microsoft site. It should be right loaded on my device.
That's correct.
Yeah, those two are part of the accessories that are in your Windows 7 system.
Well, when I look at this disk cleanup, there's all kinds of boxes to check on which files to delete.
Well, yeah, I was going to say recycle bin, temporary internet files, log files, old Windows updates. And what that's doing is eliminating disk space, but it's the defrag that's important. You also want to, one thing that could slow down a computer startup is disk errors. So you want to check your hard drive for disk errors. So you would go into your My Computer, you would locate your C drive, and then you'd want to check it for disk errors. And you do that by right mouse clicking on it, selecting properties. There's a tools tab at the top, and then you can say scan my disk for errors now. And hold on the air. We'll talk to you.
What we're going to do, Nancy, is we're going to put you on hold right now. And when we come back, we'll give some of the other things you can do, maybe some other software as well. And we'll give a kind of a wrap up of that package for our listeners, too, in just a moment. I want to thank Jeff Garnite from Microsoft for being with us. Jeff, it's been good having you here.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Talking about all the fun new things. We didn't even get to talk about it. Windows 10 Preview is out.
Yep.
And I've been playing with it. And... right now, I have a little bit of it. By the way, if you're going to play with it, realize that this is a very buggy thing because it's just a beta.
It is beta. And there have been a couple releases since the original announcement. And so a lot of great features, functionality are being added on a weekly basis, if you will. So a new build is supposed to come out next week.
Oh, excellent. But it's only for the brave. It's only for the brave.
But you know, if you jump in on the beta and try to help out with that particular thing,
if
you see features that you like, you can always feed that back. And who knows? You may be the person that made that widget that came alive.
That's very important.
Yeah, feedback is built into preview. So
and
that as you do different things inside there, it'll actually ask, go pop up questions, say, hey, how did the alt tab work for you? Scale 1 to 5 and let you add comments. So and we're taking all that feedback in.
And even if it isn't doing that, you can get the feedback thing. And I told them, hey, well, all of a sudden my lit the keyboard isn't lit anymore. What happened there? You know, and different things like that.
And you forgot to turn the power on.
No, not really. Hey, I want to go back to Nancy and what she was asking us about beforehand about keeping her Windows 7 machine clean. We had talked about using disk cleanup and defrag and the disk error check. CCleaner, Ed, is an excellent tool that we have in our Internet Advisor toolkit. It's free. So, Eddie, where do you go to get that?
InternetAdvisor.net, and underneath the toolkit, and it's under utilities. And it's under, it's piriform.com, CCleaner, is the website.
Piriform.
Okay. Potato, patata.
Spell it,
P-I-R-I-F-O-R-M. And I use the free version, and it's great because it cleans up old utilities. It'll clean up disk space and log files and startup files. They can all slow down a little bit your computer.
Yep.
But the other portion of it CCleaner that we use is that it has a startup, sort of like what we use for msconfig, the Microsoft utility msconfig, that allows you to selectively deselect which items start up on Windows. Because as a computer ages, you get more and more things that are loaded up on your taskbar. It's like, I don't even have a brother's computer anymore. Why is it still loading the drivers?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know,
and with something like an e-machine, and Nancy has an e-machine, which is one of the old netbooks.
Yeah.
Got 3 gigabyte of RAM on it, probably pretty limited. And, you know, those things are taxed to begin with. And Cal
found some interesting information about the Cricut, which was spelt C-R-I-C-U-T.
Oh.
Yeah, matter of fact, if you go to Cricut.com, they have a breakdown of what's going on in there. And it appears to me, from what I read out there, is that she doesn't need a Bluetooth. That adapter she has is not Bluetooth. It's actually Wi-Fi.
Oh.
She plugs it into the machine itself, and then on the front panel, she walks through a display, and when she plugs that in, it gives extra options on it. She goes in and mates it with her Wi-Fi network in the house, and bingo bango, she should be dancing.
Bada boom,
okay,
bada
so
bing.
Think of it this way. When people say wireless, some people mean Bluetooth. Some people mean wireless networking. Right. There's terminology there that other things have inherited and used that terminology. Right. You know, well, like in the United States, we say $1 million, and they don't say that in Britain. You know, they say, I forgot what they, a million and billion are just.
And the whole point of our program is to cut through that geek speak and give you some clean, simple language to be able to understand. That's
right. And by the way, if you come up with a question by the time our program is over, it's going to be over shortly, you can always go to internetadvisor.net and we have a contact us button. Oh. Click on that. And then during the week, Ed and Cal and I and Gary, we will get on the line and try to fix something.
And YouTube does provide videos for the Cricut installation and how to set up Wi-Fi and how to set it up to print with your printer.
We should say this, folks, by the way, and we've had 16 years of answering questions here, but one of the things that's developed in that time is that YouTube has become an enormous resource. I had to replace the screen on a laptop. I went to YouTube. And I watched the whole thing and was able to, you know, here I am, all thumbs, was able to do it. There are so many answers you get now with YouTube that can show you how to do it step by step.
Now, the only caveat on that YouTube thing, and I agree with you, there's tons of spaces out there, but you want to look at multiple YouTubes of the same subject matter. Because some people think they're experts and they're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
And
do not use
some of them also don't remember to give you the caveats to be safe and do that sort of thing as well. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say you don't use knives with toasters for repair, okay?
And always unplug the machine. Hey, let's see if we can pick up a
Gary, you were going to say something?
I'm sorry, Gary.
Couldn't top that.
Dan from Warren, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Hi guys, I got a Dell XPS 400 tower.
Okay.
And it's running into Windows, so don't laugh, it's still running XP.
Okay.
But anyhow, about a week ago, I started getting this intermittent flashing amber light on the power switch, and the very next, it shut down. And the next day, I hit the button, it started up, it ran fine, I backed up all my drives.
Good.
And
I told
the wife, don't shut it off. So we left it on, and it's been on ever since. Got up this morning, and the amber light was flashing on the power light. And I did some power reading. I took some power readings on one of the plugs for the power supply. But I was wondering, what do you think, Scott? And it's there's a 4 error code on the panel, front panel.
Well, if you go to the Dell website and put in your machine's what is that number on there? Service code on the side.
Service tag.
It'll bring up your machine with the configuration on, and it will also have links on there for troubleshooting, and they will tell you what that code specifically means. Right off the top of my head, I'd say your power supply is about to take a long walk on a short pier.
Yep.
Well, that's what I thought when it did this intermittent operation, and then it shut down by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, the good news is you probably find really used parts really cheap. It's that old.
Yeah, if you can find the used parts.
I think you probably be able to find a new power supply. I've done them for those machines for about $40.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, for the money that you're going to spend on the power supply, like the $40, and the time you're going to spend taking it apart, putting it together, putting a new power supply and stuff like that, and the value of your time, it's probably time to take a step up to a new machine, which you could probably get into for, I don't know, $300 or $400. Take your data, transfer it over there, load up your programs, and walk on down the street feeling a lot more confident for another 4 years.
Because you can improve that part.
And it'll be a lot faster.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
A lot.
In other words, you can put a V8 engine into a Yugo, but it's still a Yugo.
Gotcha.
All right, sir.
Thanks for the advice, and I really appreciate your program.
Thank you so much.
And Dan was really smart. When something like that was starting to go wrong, he backed
it
up.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Because there's only two groups of people out there, those who need to back up and those who wish they backed up. Which one would you like to be?
I've been both.
All right. Let's wrap things up with Ralph from Sterling Heights. Ralph, how you doing? How can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Hello. I have a Dell desktop computer. We're running Windows 8.0, and Microsoft forced me to do upgrade to 8.1, and all my drivers disappeared for my printers and peripheral. Is there a quick fix?
Wow.
Well, I don't know why they would have disappeared, and you definitely wanted to move to 8.1 for a whole lot of reasons, but it shouldn't have done that.
No,
I don't, Jeff.
Yeah, so I don't have an exact answer for that, but drivers should have not have disappeared. But so when you connected the devices, is it asking for drivers, or are they able to find the devices?
Well, as an example, if I just ask it to print something, it just doesn't do anything.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Ralph, we want to hang on, all right? We're going to put you on hold, and we'll talk with you after the program is over here. For the rest of you folks out there, if you do have a question for us, again, go to internetadvisor.net and click on the Contact Us button. You can put an email in there that we'll tackle. Gives us a little more time to think it over and consult among ourselves and help you. Thank you all for being here for this special edition of the Internet Advisor. Remember that every week we do this program, even if you don't hear it on our flagship station, WJR. We're on our affiliates across the state, and we have a podcast that we publish every Sunday night that contains the content of our programs 52 weeks a year. Thank you so much for all of you being with us.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Go MSU.